Today I'm going to make I'm going to make 3 points today. But today, what am I looking at? We're looking at how do I deal with temptation? How do you begin to deal with temptation? That's what we're looking at today. How do I deal with temptation? So it's not good enough that I say, okay, this is the process that one gets tempted. This is what happens when you get tempted. This is the aim of temptation. It's not good to stop there. So we want to look at, how do I begin to deal with temptation as an individual? How can I come to the place where when I'm faced with temptation, I know what to do? I'm not just throwing my hands in the air. Or when people come to me and they're in a desperate situation where they're being tempted, what can I tell them? What is the practical advice that I can give them? We'll look at that today and we'll finish off next week. The first thing I want to mention, I'm going to make 3 points this morning in dealing with temptation. The first thing that we need is to see and identify the consequence of that temptation. What is the consequence? If this temptation succeeds in my life, what is going to happen to me? What is the consequence? Now, the thing is that a lot of the times when temptation comes, the consequences of temptation, they're blurred, kind of. We're in the moment. And it appears that the consequences are just non-existent. Why? Because we're right in the middle of it. But anytime temptation comes, what you want to do, or what I want to do, is say, okay, look, where is this thing going to land me? Where is this thing going to take me? Irrespective of how I feel at this point in time, where is it going to land me? So that is the first thing that one needs to look at very critically. And I'm going to look at 3 areas this morning that people get tempted in. Well, these are, well, things that happen, but there are other areas as well. So the first area is sexual temptation. And we look at the life of David. And I'm going to read David. This is from Samuel. And this is a story of David and Bathsheba. I'll try and remember the scripture before, well, I'll give it to us later. But it's the story of David and Bathsheba. And I read. It says, in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men, the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Verse 2. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to her. She came to him and he slept with her. She was purified from her uncleanliness and she went back home. Verse 5, the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. So we're looking at, I'm making 3 points tonight, this morning, as in how do we deal with temptation. So the first one, like I said, is seeing the consequence of temptation. And one of the areas that people get tempted a lot is in the area of sexual temptation. I mean, they said it is so much on the increase now. Everywhere you look at, you have like imagery of someone who is, you know, not properly dressed, or the films that we watch, even adverts are, it's always insinuating that, so that the temptation is just out there. It is out there. And I was teaching Sunday school at our headquarters once, back in the days. Then I was teaching children based between 9 and 11. That was my class. I really enjoyed it. And this morning, I came to class. I think my daughter was in the class then, or my son, one of them. And I said, today we're going to talk about sex. And do you know what the children said? They said, oh, uncle, oh my goodness, I love. That was their reaction. They were like, oh my goodness, how can you say that? Oh my. They were like totally embarrassed. And I said, no problem. And I said, look, let me give you guys an analogy. And the analogy I gave them was this. I go to the shop and I buy a knife, right? Sharp knife. Now, with that knife, I go and I take it home and I slice my loaves, my loaf of bread, and I butter with that knife, right? And I said, there's another instance where with the same knife, I go out onto the street, someone annoys me, and I stab them with that knife. I now ask them, is the knife bad? And they said, no, it's not. And I said, look, God has made sex good, but it's the use of it. So I wanted to make sure with the kids, because if you don't teach them, they will teach them in school anyway. But I wanted to give them the right perspective, and they calmed down. And they said, yeah, we didn't think about it that way, uncle. They called me uncle. So what am I saying? Looking at sexual temptation, sex in itself is not bad, but it is the use of it. In this circumstance, we had David, a king. He saw a woman and he said, who is that woman? Let's even assume he was tempted, right? And they said, this woman is somebody else's wife. He should have stopped there. Do you understand? At least he should have stopped there. Now, remember, this is the same David that the Bible, God pens and says, I have found a man after my own heart. In fact, there was someone who, the children of David misbehaved so much, and God wanted to like punish them. And he said, I won't, because of David, your father. So we're not talking about some guy who, you know, who's just out there. This is a man that, when you're reading the Psalms and the things this man says about God, he says, my heart longs for you, God. You know? He says, I want to be in the house of the Lord 7 times a day. I mean, this man, he formed several musical instruments. This was a man that could play praise and worship and demons would fly out. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But temptation does not respect your knowledge of the Bible. It does not respect anything about you. What it respects is your ability to recognize what it's doing to you. So this man slept with this woman and she became pregnant, and he arranged for her husband to be assassinated. This man. Why was David doing this? I believe that at that point, he was blind to the consequence. If you now read what God did, God said, look, you have done this, and it had a ripple effect. It affected his children, it affected his kingdom, it destroyed the lives of the people around. I mean, this man that he killed must have had relatives. They will have been mourning. So the consequence was devastating. I'm sure if David had sat down and paused and said, look, this thing that I'm about to do, this is the consequence, he will have just backed out. So I believe the first thing about temptation is looking at the consequence of it. What is this thing going to do to you? What is the consequence of this act you're about to perform? Irrespective of how you feel about it. So realizing the consequence of temptation is very good. I was telling someone that, look, for me, when I became a Christian, I became born again in 1996. And before then, so many people had tried to preach to me at my university and all that. I just said, look, forget it. I'm not with all that stuff. Yeah, all that So when I became born again, my heart was really in it. And I began to realize that, look, this walk that I'm walking with God, there are a lot of things that I need to step back from so that I will not expose myself to temptation. And a lot of my friends thought like, man, this guy has gone like really, what's happening to this guy? That's because at that very early stage, I realized that, look, David even went out to look. I won't even get to that point at all, you know, where I need to start battling temptation. I'm not even going to get there. So David here didn't analyze the consequence of what he was doing. Do you understand? Now, that's in one area. Let's look at another area. Consequence. We look at Moses in Exodus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. I'll read Exodus chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses was an angry guy at some point. And can you beat that? Can you imagine that? You hear, by the way, this is an analogy. Maybe there are a couple of people, Brother Josh is out there and someone's arguing with him, just like the neighbor, and he's like roughing up Brother Josh. And he's like, hey, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. And he's roughing him up. Then I now go out. By the way, this is an analogy. I was like, hang on, what are you doing to Brother Josh? You know, Brother Josh is a gentleman as well. And I look left and I look right, pounce on the guy that's arguing with Brother Josh, strangulate him, kill him, then dump him in the dumpster there at the back. That would be totally out of character. Moses was so annoyed that, hang on, what? You are doing this? And his anger broke out. And he did something that at the end it cost him 40 years of his life. He ran away when the one. So we see here as well that there are times that we can be so angry and we make certain decisions or we say certain things and those things have a rippling effect. That is part of temptation. The consequence. I know someone who he was quarreling with his wife and stuff like that. And he said some things. And his wife took him seriously. And it really affected their marriage. And I said, bro, why did you say this? He said, well, I was angry. And, you know, she said this to me, so I had to strike back. I had to make my point. You made your point. Where has your point led you to now, my brother? Your point has led you to where we now have to come and beg. Do you get what I mean? So we see anger here as well. Do you understand? I remember when I was much younger, I was like little then, and I used to be, I'm a cool guy, generally speaking, I think I am. But when I was much younger, I remember that I would be so angry sometimes that I would destroy things around me, destroy my toys, but thinking back now, I'm like, man, that was really weird. Then I'll realize that, hang on, this is my toy that I've broken. They're not going to get me another one, so I'm toyless. Now, so what point am I making here? I'm making the point that, look, these things can really affect us. Another point we see, and I'll just summarize this one, is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Talking about money, talking about wealth, wanting to make it in life. And the Bible says those who will get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So all these three things I've mentioned, sexual temptation, anger, the desire for, you know, just wanting to be rich, these are the things that plague every single one of us. There's so many other examples. But what am I saying here? I'm saying that when temptation comes, you and I want to step back and say, hang on. I want this thing so much, but what is the consequence? Where is it going to take me? And I believe that once we take that perspective, it begins to help us to step back and say, hang on, I'm going to step back from this. I'm making 3 points this morning. So how do I deal with temptation? We said these are some examples of the things that tempt us. So do we go out there now and say, well, Pastor Benson said, when temptation comes, step back. What does it mean to step back in real life? The first thing we need to realize is in all cases, God is the one that helps us to resist temptation by his power. So what that means is this. If someone is not born again, or someone is not a Christian, resisting temptation is going to be, in some cases, almost impossible. You might say, Pastor Benson, what are you saying? Let me read something to us. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. So Romans chapter 7 verse 15 gives us a scenario here. And Paul is saying that as humans, there's so many things that we want to do, but we end up not doing them. And he says that the things that he hates the most, some of the things that people hate the most, that's what they end up doing. And he begins to say that, look, if as a person, I really want to do good, I don't want to follow this part of temptation, if that's what I'm really desiring deep down, but I find myself doing what I hate, something must be happening inside of me. Something must be happening inside of me. There must be some sort of conflict. What is that conflict? And Paul summarizes this conflict. He says that that conflict is in each and every one of us. And it is the power of Jesus Christ that can help us to resolve and overcome that conflict. There was a story I read once about this man of God. And he said there was this professor that came to him. This professor was like the best brain, the most successful psychiatrist in the state, renowned, well known. I mean, if you went to him, he would analyze your psychology, you know. And this man came to this preacher privately. And he said, preacher, there are certain things that I do that I'm even ashamed to say. And I hate doing these things. And he listed out the things that he did, that he was always doing to this preacher with tears. Because he said, a man with my kind of knowledge and reputation, if anybody knows that I'm doing this, I'm ruined. But I cannot help. I cannot help myself. So we see that the second thing in dealing with temptation is understanding that it is the power of God that helps us. So for anyone that is born again, God's power is there. That conflict, irrespective of the conflict we have, God's power is there to help us. Do you understand? So God isn't saying, go off and resist temptation yourself. He's not saying, give it a try. No, he's saying, I want you to resist temptation, but realize that it is with the power, my power that is inside you. Do you understand? And the last point I want to make this morning is this. So we're saying, how do I deal with temptation? I've said, realizing the consequence. The second thing is that knowing that to resist temptation, one must be born again. And when you're born again, you already have the power to resist temptation. Otherwise, it's going to be almost virtually impossible. So the last point is this. What else helps me to resist temptation? And I'm just going to quote from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. I won't read it. It's the story of how Jesus was tempted by the devil. Bible says the devil came to Jesus and he said, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you jump from the pinnacle of the temple, God's angels will help you. And if you're hungry, turn stones to bread. And Jesus said, no, it is written. And he began to tell the devil, can you imagine? The devil coming to the word himself. And he began to tell the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So what that means is that Jesus was really hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. So he was really hungry. It was something that, I mean, it was like, man, I mean, even fasting 1 or 2 days, like, you'd be sweaty. I was like, someone offers you like a, you would jump at it. But Jesus, there was something that Jesus realized, well, not realized, did that. He realized the consequence. He realized the consequence and said, no, even though I'm hungry, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to turn stones to bread, because the consequence is that I will compromise the salvation of millions of people if I go down this route. So he refused, even though he was hungry. So the third point I'm making here is this. One other thing that helps us to overcome or begin to understand overcoming temptation is subjecting all our desires to the Word of God, irrespective of how we feel about it. Irrespective of how we feel. I remember there was someone that there was someone that annoyed me so much on one occasion. And I was going to respond and just really, I mean, this person had been pressing my hot button for a long time. And I was like, God, can I just express my opinion to this person? After this, I can go and repent. You know what I mean? Just once. You know, let me just give them the peace of my mind. Then I now thought, hang on, Pastor B. Pastor B, can you imagine if your daughter was here now? Maybe Prince was here. How would they feel if you responded the way you're thinking of responding now? So you know what I did? I said, okay. And I backed down. And I was boiling. But I backed down to the Word of God. It says, let anger go. Do you understand? Let anger go. So the decisions that we will make, that we need to make sometimes, that even though that's what we really want, the Word of God says no because of the consequence. Because of the consequence. I remember someone came to meet me once, actually several times, and they said, oh, there's this guy that I really like, and I think the guy likes me, and maybe I might want to marry him and all that. And you know, as a pastor, these things you have to like just hold your peace. And in my mind already, I knew that this guy that is doing is fake. When I mean fake, he has had no intention of marrying this sister. As a guy, you know, and as a pastor, you know. I knew that, look, forget about this guy, but obviously this is an adult, so I can't say that. Then you know what you say as a pastor? Well, have you prayed about it? Have you, maybe you should give this time. You know, you can't just say, this guy is a real crook. You know what I mean? So you use all those politically correct terms. Have you prayed about it? Have you thought about it? But in my mind, I'm like, God, please deliver this sister from this guy. And she really liked this guy. But when you now look at what the Bible says, one, the Bible is clear that if you're a believer, you shouldn't get married to someone who is not. So it's clear. And she knew this, but she really liked the guy. And I empathized with her. And I said, well, I think you should take it easy. Because, you know, just take it easy, give it time. But she didn't, and she went ahead. And this individual did exactly what I knew he would do. And this person was almost suicidal. How could he have done this to me? And all that. As a pastor, you can't say, I told you so. Again, you have to just still, sorry, you know, don't worry, and all that. That's because she did not subject herself to the word of God, even though she really, really, really liked the individual. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to end there this morning, and we'll carry on next week. So, but what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that, look, temptation is real. We all face it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. But we do not have to let ourselves get to the point where temptation destroys us. How? Looking at the consequence. Where is this thing going to lead me? Number two, realizing that, look, you don't have to deal with temptation by your strength. God has given you a supernatural ability to do it. And the last thing is this. Realizing that you have to use the word of God to control your emotions, whether you like it or not. Because the word of God is also always true. And that is what we should base our time on, or base our lives on. So this morning, I'm going to end here, but I'd like us to pray. And what I'd like us to pray about is this. Now, God, help me as an individual not to fall into the trap of temptation. Even if I'm facing temptation now, Lord, you have said you will help me. Help me. Don't let me fall or reach the consequence of temptation. Do you understand? I'll ask that we pray that. I'll pray as well. Everybody faces temptation. But this morning, I believe that the Lord will touch each and every one of us that is here to give us grace. And if maybe in our lives in the past we have made decisions that have arisen out of temptation, and we have found ourselves in a place that we do not want to be in because of the choices that we have made. The Bible says that Jesus wipes away all sin. It says Jesus can help ease the consequence of whatever temptation. God came to David and he said, look, I have forgiven you already, but this is the consequence. This morning, let's just say, Father, help me. Let us just pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you because you're concerned about every area of our lives. Thank you because you understand the temptations that we face whilst we're in this body. Father, this morning I lift up everyone that is here and even those that are not here. And I say, Father, that every time we're faced with a temptation from the devil, strengthen us to overcome. Father, I pray for anyone that is here that is maybe experiencing the consequence of temptation that they've done in the past. We speak your mercy into every such situation in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the hope that you've given us. Thank you for the future that you've given us. Father, I give you praise. Father, I give you praise this morning. Let's just take some time this morning and just let God like really speak to our hearts. Let God speak to our hearts this morning. Father, we ask that you just speak a word to our hearts this morning. Speak a word to our hearts, Father, we pray. And this morning while I was praying, I saw a gentleman, I saw this person, and they were walking, they were taking a path, and it seemed like something that they had done had injured their left leg, and they were feeling the pain of that left leg as they were walking in life, or as they were walking along. So if you're here and there's something that has happened to you, not like physically, it could be, and it seems like when you're taking a step forward, every step you're taking forward towards the future, that pain that you have experienced in one area of your life is still holding you back. I believe that the Lord wants to bring healing to that part of your life this morning. That whatever it is that has caused that pain that you're carrying in your life, just this particular area of your life, the Lord wants to bring healing to that part. Father, I pray for that individual that has experienced that painful experience in just one area of their life, and as they're walking through life, trying to make sense of life, that thing keeps propping up in their mind. That thing keeps propping up in their mind. Father, I'm asking that you bring peace to that situation, that you grant them ease in that area in the name of Jesus, that you help them to forget and to move on. Why? Because you have forgiven and you have forgotten as well. Father, we thank you and we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.